first case of the morning is Tecube versus Gonzalez. Mr. Washburn.
If it pleases the court, my name is Paul Washburn, and I represent the petitioner, Evrusalem Tekelu. She's an Ethiopian native of Eritrean descent who's been ordered deported to Eritrea or to Ethiopia if Eritrea will not accept her. I want to begin by talking about two questions of law which predominate in the immigration judge's opinion and which I think largely decide this case. The first question of law, which the judge made a mistake on, is that when he found that Evrusalem had been firmly resettled in Eritrea, and the problem with that is that Evrusalem has never set foot in the country of Eritrea, and the clear text of the regulations requires that a person to be firmly resettled in another country must have passed into that country. I refer the court, for instance, to 8 CFR 208 section 1.5, the definition of firm resettlement, which says if prior to arrival in the United States he or she entered into another country with or while in that country received an offer of permanent non-resident status. Evrusalem Tekelu went from Ethiopia to Thailand, from Thailand to the United States, never set foot in Eritrea. While she was in Thailand, she lost her Ethiopian passport, called the Eritrean embassy in China. The Eritrean embassy in China sent her by mail an Eritrean passport, and then she went on to the United States. The immigration judge was much taken by this fact, but simply failed to consult the text of the regulations, which clearly do not allow somebody to be firmly resettled in a country where they've never set foot.
You know, Mr. Washburn,
yes,
the
ma'am.
Government has not even contested that point. So, you know, firm resettlement is not going to be a viable basis for affirming the IJ's decision in any case. So, you might, you might want to go on.
I'm much relieved to hear it. I'll move on to the next point. The second legal issue is the immigration judge found or held that in the Seventh Circuit, the persecution of a person's family cannot provide the basis for a finding of past persecution. This circuit has, in fact, not ruled that family persecution can never be the basis for past persecution. The immigration judge cites the case of Thomas Mircea, which is a Seventh Circuit case from the year 2000. In that case, the circuit expressly noted that the BIA decision it was affirming did not hold that that the persecution of family can never be the basis for past persecution. We cite in our briefs two cases in the Ninth Circuit where the persecution of family was held to be the basis for past persecution by the applicant. And we cite also to Draganova the Seventh Circuit case of 1996, in which this circuit remanded to the immigration judge the case to determine whether the persecution of the applicant's family rose to that level that would amount to past persecution. The judge never properly considered the facts supporting Evrusalem's claim for past persecution because he found as a matter of law that the persecution of her family could not support her claim for past persecution. The facts that he failed to consider were that at that time, the government of Ethiopia was engaged in a program of mass deportation of persons of Eritrean descent who were being sent to Eritrea. Evrusalem's entire family, her aunt, her uncle, her mother, and her brother, were all taken and sent to Eritrea. She was the only member of her family left in Ethiopia. The judge never considered these extreme circumstances where she was left alone, an 18-year-old child, in Ethiopia because he felt that he could not consider the fact that her family had been deported. Which was the persecution of her entire family. Had he properly considered those facts, and the facts that the police later came back and looked for Evrusalem herself after her mother and her brother were taken away in the middle of the night, had he properly considered those facts, he might well have found that she had suffered past persecution, that being subject to this program of massive expulsion of everyone of Eritrean descent who was in Ethiopia, and hundreds of thousands of them were simply sent across the border into Eritrea. She was a victim of that program as much as anybody who actually was sent across the border by virtue of the fact she was a dependent child, her entire family was expelled from the country, and she was left to fend for herself.
Would all of those expelled be eligible for asylum?
No, Your Honor. I doubt that they would. Many of them went to Eritrea, and with many of them there would be an issue whether they were firmly resettled in Eritrea. Evaru Salem was one of the very few who escaped from the, who was a target of this program, but escaped from that country to a third country and ultimately to the United States. There's no question that she was, there's no question all those people were persecuted where they, when they were in Ethiopia. I mean, being taken away in the middle of the night and sent out of the country where you've lived for your whole life is persecution. The intent of the government was to persecute those people by expelling them from the country. She was subject to that persecution. And there's, and she arrived in the United States as a victim fleeing from that persecution.
What about the issue of the denial of citizenship? Is because that apparently the IJ said that was not a valid basis for.
That's true. Well, in that case, in this instance, when she lost her Ethiopian passport while she was in Thailand, she called the Ethiopian embassy and asked them to send her a new passport. They refused to do so because they said, you can't tell us where your family lives in Ethiopia. They'd all been expelled. That's why she couldn't tell them. We contend that that's de facto denial of citizenship. If somebody leaves the country and you refuse to give them a passport to come back into the country, you're essentially denying them citizenship in Ethiopia.
Is that persecution?
I believe it is, Your Honor. It's part of a pattern of persecution in this case. None of these factors stand alone.
Do you have any case law to support that?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Do you have any case law to support that theory?
Not directly on point, no, Your Honor. We do cite some cases in our brief where denial of passport was held to be persecution of people who'd left the country and they weren't able to come back. But not directly on point with Ethiopia and Eritrea.
Thank you.
Now, if the judge had properly looked at all these circumstances and found past persecution, as we all know, the burden would then shift as to the question of her fear, her well-founded fear of persecution if she were returned to Ethiopia. The judge never got to that analysis, never found whether that the government had met that burden because he never found that there was past persecution. So that legal error of determining that under Seventh Circuit law he simply could not consider the persecution of her family as part of her persecution colors the entire case. When he doesn't consider those facts appropriately to decide whether there's past persecution, he then does not shift the burden to the government to show that the circumstances in Ethiopia have changed where she no longer has a well-founded fear if she were returned. And so he never considers that issue either. The entire case, at the very least, has to be remanded to the IJ for him to properly determine these factual issues based on an appropriate understanding of law in the Seventh Circuit. We submit further that the records in, that the record before this court would enable you to find that she in fact suffered past persecution and that she that there has been no overcoming of the burden, which would show that she no longer has a well-founded fear of persecution if she's returned to Ethiopia. And certainly the record before this court is sufficient for this court to find that she was never firmly resettled in the country of Eritrea, because the clear meaning of the regulations is you have to go to that country before you can be firmly resettled there. So we're asking this court, one, to overturn the IJ's decision and the BIA's decision and find that the applicant was never firmly resettled in Eritrea. Two, instruct the immigration judge, if this case is remanded to him, that he properly consider the evidence of past persecution, including the persecution of her family. And three, after that, that if he finds that, as he should, that she was persecuted by virtue of being of her family being deported, he shift the burden to the government and properly consider the record as to whether conditions have changed in Ethiopia where she could safely return. And I believe I'm at the point where I'm going to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thanks. Ms. Paddock?
Good morning. Stacey Paddock on behalf of Respondent. Substantial evidence supports the agency's finding that nothing happened to this petitioner, nothing that would amount to persecution, a well-founded fear of persecution, a clear probability of persecution, or a likelihood of torture in either Ethiopia or Eritrea. First, to address a couple of points raised by petitioner's counsel, respondent believes the dispositive issue in this case relates to the finding by the immigration judge that there was no past persecution or a likelihood of future persecution. Opposing counsel stated that the immigration judge did not address whether the deportation of petitioner's mother amounted to past persecution. However, the immigration decision is clear that he did address that. And, in fact, in footnote 2 of his decision, contemplates but does not actually render a finding whether the mother herself would have been subjected to past persecution by virtue of her deportation to Eritrea, but makes the finding that the mother and brother's forced removal from Ethiopia to Eritrea did not amount to past persecution to petitioner.
So the issue of this deportation, with it to sort of a mass deportation, I guess, because my question the same is that evidence of persecution for the person who was actually deported, or is that decided?
That actually has not been decided. I believe in one of the briefs submitted below, petitioner referred to a Seventh Circuit Bukar case, which does contemplate in the context between Romania and Hungary during violent pogroms where a forced or a campaign of expulsions could rise to the level of persecution. But in that case, it was really a discussion of the fine line between when does discrimination amount to persecution.
What Bakar does, it seems to me, is it notes that both D'Souza and Fadul involved the denial to non-citizens of the privileges of citizenship, and suggests that a campaign of expulsions that is based on ethnicity would indeed constitute persecution.
That case, the government believes that case is distinguishable from the case at hand by virtue of the facts, the level of harm caused to those people. In the instant case, the border war between Ethiopia and Eritrea, it did not appear that this case, the situation is similar to what was going on. 75,000 people of Eritrean descent living in Ethiopia were removed, as well as people from Ethiopia, or people living in Ethiopia of Eritrean descent were removed to Ethiopia.
I think the point ought be that neither Fadul or D'Souza would suggest that a government has a sovereign right to strip citizenship from an entire class of persons based purely on their ethnicity.
In that matter, it does not. It's not clear what the citizen, whether petitioner's mother had any citizenship rights in Ethiopia. She was living there, running a business, but it was clear she was an Eritrean citizen. She had moved to Ethiopia in 1978.
And how do we factor that into the daughter?
Well, under this circuit's case law, related to derivative persecution claims, it appears clear that petitioner herself, who did not suffer any harm, did not suffer the same type of situation that her mother and brother did. I mean, her testimony was she opened the door for the military that came in the middle of the night, that took her mother away, brought her mother back, and her mother then grabbed her brother and left. It was clear they knew she was there. Unclear.
Have you? I sure didn't see it in your brief, but maybe, you know, I miss things all the time. Did your brief argue that the petitioners never were Ethiopian citizens, or that Ethiopia does still, in fact, recognize their citizenship?
I'm not aware of
right.
that.
Right. No.
It's the government's contention.
So you can't argue it now.
Okay. It's the government's contention related to this court's case law on derivative persecution claims that petitioner in this instance cannot claim that she suffered past persecution merely based on the fact that her mother and brother were removed from Ethiopia to Eritrea. In the cases, in the Ambanti case and the Tomas Massera case, it's similar to the facts here in that both the children or petitioners in those cases never suffered any injury or harm. This court found in those cases that because the family member, the petitioner, did not suffer any harm similar to the harm suffered by the family members who were persecuted in the past, could not bootstrap an asylum or past persecution claim to themselves. So it's the government's contention that petitioner here cannot claim, as petitioner in Ambanti and Tomas Massera did, that she herself suffered past persecution by virtue of the fact that her mother and brother were deported to Eritrea. In addition, Your Honor,
we can never, of course, know what the chances would have been of that happening to her if she hadn't escaped, can we? We just can't know.
No, we don't know. We don't know. She was able to escape. Neighbors warned her. She went to a friend's house, did receive an exit. Her testimony states that she did receive an exit visa to leave legally from Ethiopia. She had an Ethiopian passport and went to Kenya and then on to Thailand. In addition, Your Honors, the objective evidence of record undermines her claim to have a well-founded fear of persecution in Ethiopia. Petitioner failed to show that anyone is still looking for her, or after the initial contact with her family in 1998 that the military continued to look for her. She failed to demonstrate that any sort of deportations are still occurring, and in fact the Department of State report in the record states that in 2000 those sort of forced removals or deportations ceased. In addition, there's no evidence, or petitioner did not provide any evidence that she would.
I'm trying to remember the briefs, and I'm having a little bit of difficulty. But there are two. We've got two cases today that are
similar.
Very similar. But is it a fact that now it's sort of a buy your leave for 6 months at a time in Eritrea?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
In other words, every 6 months, people have to get new papers, et cetera, et cetera.
The Department of State report in this case stated that for the first 6 months when an individual was removed, they had 6 months to get their affairs in order. If they could demonstrate that they had a family member or ties to Eritrea, they then received permanent documentation that they were permitted to stay, residence cards. If after the 6 months they could not prove that they had family ties or Eritrean citizens, they then received a sort of temporary residency card. It would be in this instance, petitioner's mother received her citizenship card, her passport. It's not exactly clear from the record what her mother did receive, but it's clear that she was detained for a short period of time, and then once they released her, she's been living with her son, with the grandmother in Eritrea. So there's not the constant six-month process. Perhaps Your Honor is thinking of when she was in. May I be permitted to continue?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Petitioner, when she was living in Thailand, had to leave every 6 months in order to get her temporary permit there. But as far as Eritrea is concerned, all the State Department reports confirm that after the initial six-month period, petitioner's mother and brother would have received all their primary documentation as residents there.
What about as far as Ethiopia, though?
As far as Ethiopia, petitioner, it's clear from the test.
You indicate she wouldn't be persecuted if she went back there, I guess.
There's no evidence that she would be.
Would she be a citizen, or could she be?
It's It's unclear. It appears that she's a citizen of both Eritrea and Ethiopia. It's very confusing, and the evidence does not demonstrably say whether she's a citizen. I would think, based on the fact that she did have an Ethiopian passport and lived there, was born there, perhaps she has some sort of citizen rights there.
You mean the exit passport, whatever it was?
Yes, she also had an exit visa as well, that they considered her one of their own. Unfortunately for petitioner, when she attempted to get her Ethiopian passport replaced after she lost it, she could not fill out the form completely to satisfy the Ethiopian consulate that she should be that she's eligible for the passport. So it's the government's contention that she wasn't denied citizenship or truly denied a passport from Ethiopia based on having a full and fair discussion of her record. It was that she couldn't provide them the necessary information to prove she was eligible to complete the form.
Okay.
May I have one sentence to conclude, Your Honors?
Well, hurry, because you're already over time.
It's the government's contention that petitioner failed to meet her burden of proving eligibility for the relief requested, and the record evidence does not compel an alternate conclusion. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ms. Washburn.
First, I think at this point there's no need in talking about how the respondent would be received if she were to go to Eritrea. If the government's truly abandoned its claim that she was firmly resettled there, they can't send her there. She never lived there. She's not a citizen. She wasn't firmly resettled. That part of the immigration judge's order simply cannot be executed. All that's left is the question of whether she would be persecuted if she were to return to Ethiopia. There is evidence in the record, ample evidence in the record, testimony of our expert, document including the 2002 Department of State country report, which talks about the fact that this, at least as of that date, Eritreans who returned to Ethiopia were compelled to register with the government. They're watched over by a sort of a local constabulary called the Kabila, an arrangement very familiar to us from other authoritarian nations, where they have a little local cell in each neighborhood that watches over who is there. In Ethiopia, that cell controls who gets cooking oil and flour and rice. And Eritreans who return to Ethiopia must be registered with those people. The Eritreans are clearly, people of Eritrean descent who returned to Ethiopia are clearly still subject to the possibility of persecution. But the immigration judge never seriously considered that, because he never properly found that she had past persecution, so he never properly found the burden was on the government to show that she did not have a well-founded fear of persecution were she to return to Ethiopia. That finding by the IJ set the entire case off its tracks. And that a proper consideration of those facts must be made before it can be determined whether this young lady can be sent back to Ethiopia.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. This case will be taken under advisement.